check, check, check. Good morning, One Life. How are you guys doing? Good. Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Good. That's good to hear. So we're gonna worship today, and it's gonna be a good Sunday. I would encourage you guys just to begin to position your hearts to expect the Lord to move. If you are in need, if you are have worry, have a weightiness to you at all, know that the Lord is, one, not afraid of any of that stuff, but two, is wanting to come into relationship with you this morning, take those things away, walk through that process with you. Amen. Like, God is so willing and able, but he's willing to say, hey, yes, I want to come alongside you. There's a psalm I read this morning, Psalm 62 in verse 5, and this is in the Passion. It says, I'm standing in absolute stillness, silent before the one I love, waiting as long as it takes for him to rescue me. I don't know about you guys. I'm not a very patient person, so waiting isn't a strong suit for me. Starbucks coming out with the ability for me to order my drink, and so I can just walk in. I was like, Jesus, you are alive today. But the thing about it is that there's so much that happens when we stand still and wait on God. In that waiting, it might feel like we're not doing anything. It might feel pointless. But in the waiting, we get to see God come in and move in our lives. You continue in this verse. It says, only God is my Savior, and He will not fail me. Verse 6, for He alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me as my champion defender. There is no risk of failure with God, so why would I let worry paralyze me, even when troubles multiply around me? Today, I believe we're supposed to wait on the Lord. We may have all came in here with an agenda. We have a set list ready to go. Pastor Mike and Gay have a word that's on their heart. You came here with an agenda to get to worship the Lord and to be here. But let me tell you guys today that we want what God wants today. We want God to move in our lives the way He wants to move in our lives. Amen. And so my encouragement again is that we would step into a place where our hearts aren't waiting to receive what we want, but we're actually stepping into a place where we're waiting to receive what He wants to give us. Because I want what He wants to give me. I think I might want what I want, but I really want what He wants. Amen. So let's pray and let's position ourselves to worship the Lord. God, we thank You that You're here, that You're in this place, God. And we thank You that You're moving, that You're breathing on us, that You're breathing new life in us, God. And I thank You, Jesus, that You have an encounter waiting for Your sons and Your daughters today. And as we worship Your name, as we lift praises up to You today, God, that You would meet us. We're not in a hurry to get anywhere. We're not trying to rush through this thing, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah, just begin to thank Him this morning. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You're here. Thank You, Jesus, that You love us. Thank You, Jesus, Lord, that You did not hold our messes against us, that You don't abandon us, Lord, that You are our refuge. You are our Savior. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, that's good, Gay. Yeah. We wait on You. Come on, sing that out. We wait on You. One more time.
We wait on.
worship Him today.
Father, sang that song, Break Our Walls Down. What do your walls look like today? How high are they? How vulnerable are you going to be today to let those walls be broken down? Father God, I pray that you knock down every single wall in this house today, Lord. Father, I pray that you knock those walls down and you fill everyone up so abundantly that their fullness is pouring out onto the person standing next to them.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, this is your house. Father, work in us the way that you want us to receive you today, Lord. Father God, every single person in every single chair, Lord, today, you have something for them. Thank you, Lord.
Music. Jesus, we're still just going to wait on you this morning. We're just going to wait just a little bit longer, Lord, so that every heart knows that you are tugging at it. You're tugging at our hearts, God. Father, let your will be done in each heart. Thank you, God. Is it going to come on? Oh. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Lord, we know that you are here with us. You never leave us or you never forsake us.
Yeah.
But Lord, we do pray that your abiding presence, Lord, would become more aware to us. Mm-hmm. Lord, that we realize, Lord, that heaven can break out any time in our lives.
Yes, God.
Lord, that wherever we go, whatever we do, Lord, we're representative of you. And Lord, that heaven can break out. Lord, that your design for this earth, as it is in heaven, Lord, can break out here. So Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that our hearts, like Tara said, would be vulnerable, Lord, for you to challenge us, Lord, in areas of our lives, Lord, where we're not allowing you to break out, where we're not allowing you to let heaven come into the midst
yes.
of where we are. We just thank you, Lord, that you are at work in each and every one of us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And so we surrender, Lord, our will into your hands and ask for your will to be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We did a meeting a long time ago over in... It wasn't Marysville, but it was...
Mount Vernon.
And there was this man, probably Eric's age, and he had been deeply wounded. I don't know if it was from the church or leaders or just his life, but he came to the meeting because he was being obedient to the pastor. The pastor asked him to come. And the very first session was... What do you desire to get out of this meeting, you know, this thing? And I'm going to ask you the same thing. What do you desire to get out of today? What's your heart really wanting? And a lot of times, it because of who we are, it aligns with what God wants, but sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we broke up into little groups... And this young man was sitting there. Pastor Darren says, you know, what's your desire? And the first one to speak was him. And he said this very thing. I desire not to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a mood killer. Talk about Ron Open. But he said, I desire not to be here, because he had been so hurt. And as we went out through the day, you could see God was just chipping away at that wall that Tara was talking about, chipping at his wall, brick by brick, taking it down. And then it got to the part of forgiveness. And he had so many people that had hurt him, he couldn't see the end of the line. And through somebody, I don't know if it was you or who, but
just told
they said,
him to...
can you just lump them all together? Can you just lump all the pain together? Can you just put it in one pile? And the first person you see in your mind, can you just forgive them? Can you just... Because you're not hurting them, you're hurting you by not forgiving. You're the one doing it. And so he was able to forgive that one. And pretty soon, he couldn't see the others because he had forgiven. He couldn't see the faces of the others because he had lumped them all together. This morning, I'm going to tell you, you may not want to be here. You may have been dragged, kicking and screaming, or you may have come because it makes you feel better to say, I went to church on Sunday. But let me just tell you, I want to come because I want to be convicted of sin that keeps me from my Jesus. I want to come because I want there to be more closeness with him. I want that deeper. I want to wait until I know that in obedience I've waited until he's truly moved in my life enough that I know that breakthroughs happened for me today. Can you just let him chip a little bit as we move on? Can you just say yes as we move on?
Amen. So I wanted to start doing something on Sundays that I believe is, well, it says in Timothy that it's one of the things that's required of us, that God is blessed when we do. And I want to pray for our government leaders. And I know that there's you know, a main party that's now pretty much in charge, and the thing is that the request from Paul to Timothy is not based upon praying for your party. It's based on praying for the government and the leadership of this government so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life.
It's not praying for the one you wanted to win.
It's not praying for the one you wanted to win.
It's praying for the
but
government, period.
How many know our government needs prayer? Probably now more than ever. And we need to be people that... And I've been guilty in the past of not praying for my government enough. You know, it's like, especially like when my party's in power, it's like, it's all good, you know. And the problem is the lack of prayer causes us to experience that lack of prayer, because prayer changes things. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray for a moment, and if on Sundays, and I'm going to really try to do this every Sunday for a while, if someone, you know, feels on their heart they want to come up and pray for a particular leader or pray for a particular area of government, maybe the Lord's put like one of the departments on your heart, the Department of Education or something like that, you know, we want to be a people of prayer, and we want to be a people of obedience. And so in obedience, Lord, we just lift our government before you right now, Lord. We pray for the Biden administration, Lord. We pray for the cabinet. Lord, we pray for all the people that are in leadership in that administration. And Father, we pray that you would just give them wisdom. Lord, help them, Lord, to be able to know what a right decision is and what a godly decision is. Lord, we pray that you would allow their hearts to be open to being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for our Congress and for our Senate. Lord, we pray that you would just allow, Lord, the hearts of those men and women, Lord, to be open with sensitivity to God. Lord, that they would, in the coming days, seek after you, Lord, before they're seeking after even their own daily food, that there would be a hunger that you would cause to happen in the Congress and in the Senate, Lord, that that revival would be communicated in the halls, Lord, and that you would allow, Lord, transformation to take place in the hearts of men and women. Lord, we know that there's a lot of corruption in D.C. There's a lot of self-interest. There's a lot of greed. But Lord, we pray that you would just pierce that darkness. Lord, that you would pierce that darkness with your love and allow your love to overwhelm and circumvent, Lord, the greed and the anger and the resentment and the deceitfulness that takes place. Lord, that you would allow hearts to be changed and transformed. And we know, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you. Your word says it. Yeah. So, Lord, by faith right now, we thank you ahead of time for the lives that you're touching. Lord, and we know that you work behind the scenes. Lord, you work in the invisible realm. And so whether we see results immediately, we'll know that you're working. And we'll know that our prayers are being listened to and that you're moving on behalf, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord's will be done during this chaotic times. Amen. Just seems like the chaotic times just continue, don't they? But you know what? He is the God of the peace, and he's the God of the chaos. He can take any situation, and he can turn it towards our good.
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not always the most favorite things to be talking about, because we have preconceived ideas about what those three things are. And hopefully maybe Jesus himself can give us some insight about how he views those things, sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Are you all excited about
I'm
sin,
so
righteousness,
excited.
And judgment? Well, good. We got a couple people that are. Praise the Lord. Now, hopefully when we're done, we're all going to be excited about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So I'm going to have Gay read verse 7 through 12, and then we'll kind of break it down. So we're going through 8 through 12, but I really wanted to start with 7 because it's a key.
Okay. Nevertheless, there's that word again. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
So going back to verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And how many know that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life? So he doesn't lie. And he's letting his disciples know that it's to their benefit, it's to their advantage. Some translations say it's expedient that he goes away. Mm-hmm. And that's because how many know that Jesus was that God in the flesh here, but he was isolated to the location he was at. So, I mean, he couldn't be in Jerusalem and be in Samaria at the same time. It was, you know, physically impossible. I mean, I guess he could maybe have some supernatural event take place, but pretty much he was limited based on his location where he was at. And so that's one advantage that was going to come, that when the Holy Spirit came, Holy Spirit's everywhere all at the same time. Holy Spirit's not limited to a church building. Isn't that good news? Because I wasn't in a church building when Holy Spirit started dealing with me. I was coming out of doing some really bad stuff, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with my heart.
And,
yeah.
Like, how bad can it be?
It was bad. Anyway, don't need to get into the details. But the point being is that Jesus is saying it's better for you. It's to your advantage that I go away, because the Holy Spirit, when he comes, the Helper, will come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So again, we know the disciples are upset because Jesus is talking about leaving them. They don't know where he's going to go, doesn't know what he's going to do. They have been told so many times that he's going to go to basically the cross. He's going to be turned over to evil people. But they can't see that.
Right.
They keep thinking he's King Jesus and that he's going to rule Jerusalem. Hmm. That's in their heart. And they're about to be greatly disappointed. But he's letting them know, as we saw in the previous verse, I think verse 6 says, I'm telling you this now so you'll remember in the future. When things do go a certain way and you don't like what's happening, I'm telling you now so that you'll remember what I said. And you'll be able to say, oh yeah, Jesus did say that. So let's look at verse 8 here again, a little bit further down. And it says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So one of the things that I really wanted to emphasize, because as Christians, we've gone through different, probably some classes, maybe some videos we've watched, or maybe things that we've just gotten out of the Word ourselves. And we can get into this mindset that we're the Holy Spirit, that we're going to help convict the world of sin, that we're going to help convict the world of righteousness, and we're going to help convict the world of judgment. That's not our job. That's good news. That means we don't have to convict them. Holy Spirit's going to do his job, and his job is to convict the world like he did me after I'd done that horrible thing, and I walked up and started looking up into the sky. The Holy Spirit was already starting to draw me to the Father, draw me to Jesus. He's starting to feel. And we did help win souls, and we did help make disciples. But I came to a realization that we were, in some ways, winning souls by just twisting people's arms. They weren't ready for the kingdom.
Right.
But we got them through the system. We ran them through. And then after, a few months, they were gone. Because they weren't ready for what God had for them.
It was our stamp of approval, not God's.
Well, we were helping to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come.
We were doing it, though.
We were doing it. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not going to partner with us in these areas. Because he will.
Mm-hmm.
We're a partnership because the Holy Spirit lives in us. But what I want us to get is that winning souls, winning people to the Lord, that when we love them, and when we care for them, and we show that we are really concerned about their well-being, and we offer friendship to people who normally don't have friends, and we offer love to those who don't feel love, that the Holy Spirit on the other end will start convicting them of what's going on in their life. The Holy Spirit will start to communicate to them. If you look at this word, I love this word, convict, the way that it was that was broken out in definition here. It brings to light the true character of a man and his conduct. I love that. That it's going to allow a supernatural mirror to take place, that they see themselves for who they are. Not as somebody has told them they are, not as somebody has communicated to them that they are, but as they truly are, and they see the darkness in them. They see the need for a Savior in them. They see the need for righteousness, and that judgment is eventually going to be coming for those actions and those deeds. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing behind the scenes. Now, to me, that's good news, because that tells me that I don't sit there and have to harp on people that they're sinners, because the Holy Spirit's going to do the work. What I need to do is offer them the character and nature of Christ in my examples and in my life. Yeah, there's times that we'll share with somebody that they need to get right with God. Most of the time that opens up when we've allowed somebody to be in our lives for a while in time. We've done a process here at the church through interns, and it was called the Way of the Master. You could have called it the way to the way to twist somebody's arm to receive Jesus, because you were convincing them based on logical ideas, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the thing is that if the person wasn't ready, I remember, what was her name? I want to say, was it Phoebe? There was a time Paul was at a watering area. Mm-hmm. And it says that he realized that her heart, and I can't remember, wasn't Priscilla, maybe it was Priscilla, one of the P daughters that, you know, gave her heart to the Lord, said that her heart was ready to receive the Lord. He sensed that. You know, you guys have probably sensed that in people. It's like you start talking to them like, wow. Like that nurse that I was talking to. I could tell that God had been working on Amy's heart, that God had already been, you know, preparing her to hear just that she was loved by God and that she was being used by God, whether she believed it or not. And, you know, we don't know what has happened to her since, but I believe that she's probably being convicted, if she has things in her life, about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And, you know, I didn't have to bring up those things. I mean, do you guys understand that's what this is really saying? Which is awesome for me, because I like to not have to be confrontational to people, especially when you can feel they're resisting it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So verse 8, here's another way to put it. Now, I've kind of taken some liberties here, but I wanted to show you that this is really how you need to read this. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, and he will convict the world concerning righteousness, and he will convict the world concerning judgment. Mm-hmm. So it's not that he's just going to convict them concerning sin and then that there's going to be some righteousness. He's convicting the world concerning all these three areas. And if you think about it, these are the three areas that keep us away from God. Mm-hmm. Because we're in sin, we're not carrying Jesus' righteousness, and we're not preparing for, you know, or aware of the judgment to come. I remember before I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I knew I needed to go to a church, you know, and whatever the church was, I just, I need to go to church, you know, because I'm, you know, a sinner or whatever. I didn't even know if I was, I just knew that I needed to go to church. And so I talked to a friend of mine, Pudgy, and I said, hey, can I go to church with you? And he says, I don't think you want to go to church with me. Well, he was a Mormon, so I'm glad he didn't just embrace me and start taking me to church, because who knows where that would have led. I'm sure the Lord would have delivered me, but probably would have went down a road that I didn't need to go down. God spared me. But, you know, there was just something in me that was telling me I needed more, you know. And, you know, it wasn't every Sunday, you know. There were plenty of Sundays, you know, I just was just, you know, trying to get over the Saturday night before, you know, and just try to, you know, sleep it off or whatever it was, because Monday was coming, you know. So that, but I'm trying to say that God was, you know, still working in me, even though I was a complete heathen and sinner and I didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can't relate, because you came to the Lord early and you were my... Well, pretty much Miss Goody Two-Shoes, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but I had my own junk in my trunk that
you had
I
junk
needed
in your
to
trunk?
Deal,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I did. I had my own stuff.
You had your
I'm
own...
not telling you about it.
No, you don't need to tell me about it. It's your junk. It's your trunk. It's not mine. Vicki, do you have something?
I was just going to say.
Oh, you got to talk.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I get shocked a lot. I was just going to say that, and I think it was my husband who told me that if you have to talk somebody into buying something that's good for them, and they're resisting it, and you keep talking, you talk them into it, they're not going to stay with it.
Right.
They're just going to be like, it didn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you have to talk them into it, they're going to be finding every reason why it isn't working for them.
They're going to want their money back.
Yes.
A refund.
What is that about a man convinced?
A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Yeah. So anyone who gets convinced about something, but it wasn't in their will and it wasn't in their ways, they're going to be of the same opinion. They may bow to you so they can get rid of you. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And then once you're gone, it's like, that guy was crazy. You know, I'm just saying, and hey, I've been there. I've done it. You know, I've got a t-shirt, you know, that says crazy Christian, you know, and I did street ministry and there was times that the Holy Spirit was just moving and I knew it was just the timing of the Lord. And then there's other times that we were just trying to force our way because we had a quota or we wanted something to be seen that we achieved something, you know? And the problem is that as Christians, we don't realize that there's a timing of God.
Yeah.
There was a timing of God for you. There's a timing of God for me. And we don't know when that timing is. The Lord does. And I believe it's very rare when he reveals the timing actually of someone's life. Because I think the problem is when you get too much information about something, it's easy to say, oh, well, that's all taken care of. And then there's no prayer and there's no, you know, follow up. Well, they're already taken care of. We don't need to worry about it. It's going to be another 6 years and they're going to come to the Lord. But you don't realize that you were going to have a great role in that. So that unknown and that believing by faith that, you know, that God's going to work so that they come to him, or that they get to know him, or that they're drawn closer to the things of God. If he tells us too much, it's easy for us to say, God's got it. Does anybody else relate? I mean, it's like the more information we have, it's like the less he needs us, you know?
I think that, this is just my mind thinking out loud, but I think women and for men, it's different though, because we have such a woman has such a take care of you heart that I know for me, I want all my kids serving the Lord. And sometimes in my anxiousness to make sure they're okay, what if Jesus comes tonight and they're not saved? You know, I feel that in me as a woman, where I don't think men feel that as much as women do, but I believe even in that, you know, we can submit that very thing to God too, as a woman, that, you know, we don't, sometimes talking is just the worst thing to do in the world. And talking to the Lord in prayer is the best thing. You know, if you have to talk, talk to Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? Because unless you are for sure, God is calling you to speak to your child or speak to that one, it's best not to speak at all and just speak in prayer.
And love them.
Yeah, and love them. Yes, yes, because they already feel enough condemnation within themselves and from the world. They don't need you adding to it.
Well, the Holy Spirit's convicting them of sin. It's convicting them of righteousness and convicting them of judgment to come. So do we need to add to that?
Not if we have love in our heart. And isn't that what it's all about, is loving someone?
Right.
I mean, I know that there has been times that people have told me after the fact, you know, no one loved me like you did. Like, you know, I was in the middle of the world, yet you wanted me to hold me. And they meant literally, because I love to hug people. That's my ministry, is hugs. I love it. And I remember even the day that Cameron came for the first time, and she was sitting right here on the front pew. And Cameron is Joseph's gal. Joseph is Vicky's son, brother to Nancy. But it was her first time, and you could tell she was scared half out of her wit being in church. And it wasn't maybe so much being in church, but being in church of Joseph's mom, you know, and all of that stuff. And I truly felt God say, get down off that stage, because I was helping lead worship, and you go hug that girl. And I don't mean just, hi, welcome to church kind of hug. I mean, you hug her. And this was a gal that had been on the streets. You could tell she had this rough outer
wall
on her.
Break your walls down. She had walls
and
up.
Yep. I couldn't tell if she would even receive a hug. But I know what God was telling me to do. And it wasn't open my mouth and flap my gums. It was open my arms and hold her. And so when I came down, she stood up and she put her hand out. And I said, no. And I just opened up my arms. And I'm not kidding you guys. She just bawled. Like, she couldn't believe I wanted to hold her. Honestly, she couldn't. And I just wrapped my arms around her, and she sobbed in my arms for minutes, not just a second. Like, it was like this break in her that she's realizing people love me because Jesus loves me, not because they have to. You know what I'm saying? And that's how people know. They're not dumb. They get it. They know if you're being honest and true, or if you're just doing it out of duty. Duty is a four-letter word, people. I'm telling you, in the church, duty is a four-letter word.
Well said. Yeah.
And I was not doing it out of duty. I was doing it out of another four-letter word, love.
Yeah, duty and makes piles of duty everywhere.
It sure does.
Yeah.
That's what you can name the sermon, Jesse.
No, don't name
no,
it.
No, don't do that.
Don't tell him that.
He'll do it.
How do you spell duty?
I'm just saying that it totally changed the way that Cameron came back to church, didn't it, Vicki? It did. She was totally afraid to come. She didn't want to, but she came, and she got loved, and she was able to receive after that. That's our job.
And lots of people loved on her.
Oh,
Help her come to a greater realization that she was somebody who could be loved. Because unfortunately, the street will make you feel like there's no one that loves you.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Because everybody seems to be out for themselves on the street.
Right.
Verse 9. So concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. So this is, he's convicting the world concerning sin. And the reason is because they do not believe in me. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the Passion Translation, it says sin because they refuse to believe in who I am. New Living Translation says, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And then the Complete Jewish Bible says about sin in that people don't put their trust in me. Now, I think this is interesting because I think if you would have asked me before I had read this, even though I have read this many times, so how does the Holy Spirit convict people of sin? Well, I would say, well, it's probably lets them know that they're dirty dogs and that they're doing all kinds of nasty stuff and that they need to stop what they're doing. I mean, I would have, you know, I don't know if I would have said that, but I'm just saying in a way, when I read this, I said, wow, it's just saying because they don't believe in you that's the sin. The sin isn't what they've been doing. The sin is because they're not getting their release from sin by believing in Jesus.
It's choice.
It's all about choice, but also about a simple thing of trusting in Jesus.
Right, but it says because they refuse. That is if they refuse and that people don't put. So they're making a choice not to put their trust in Jesus.
Not to trust in Jesus.
So it is a choice.
Or people haven't been told how they could trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is letting them know this. See, again, we think, oh, we got to tell people they got to believe in Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit's doing that. Exactly. The fruit of the sin is because when I was separated from God, the fact that I was in darkness and I wasn't walking in the light as he is in the light, I was in my mind an enemy of God. I wasn't an enemy of God because God embraced me with all his love on the cross. God said, no, you're not my enemy. I'm dying for you. I'm making you right with me.
Right.
But until I came to the age at 19 when I realized that I needed God and someone after the Holy Spirit had been working me told me about Jesus was the answer. Jesus is the answer. I got the answer and I said, okay, I'm going to start following. Like I've said before, he didn't ask me to close the deal. He didn't say, so do you want to start following Jesus and believe in your heart? And he didn't have to. I saw go to hell, not go to hell. I'll take not go to hell. And I'm going to start following Jesus. And so I followed him all the way to where I'm sitting in this chair today. And, you know, I have had people come and say, oh, you didn't pray the sinner's prayer? No. And then they would convince me I needed to pray the sinner's prayer at that time. But I was saved the moment that I saw that Jesus was a clear choice for me. And Holy Spirit had already been dealing with me concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So, yeah, that's the judgment I've been feeling. So I said, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. And in so doing, sin wasn't a problem anymore. Now, did I sin? Yeah, but sin wasn't a problem. Sin did no longer have to be the chain in my life. See, that's what I want us to understand. The more we trust Jesus, the less sin has power over us. The more we yield to the work of Jesus in our lives and the Holy Spirit, sin has lost its weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean that I never sinned again? No, I did. But it's slowly lost its power over me. And the more that I receive his love in these later days, the less that sin has any hold on me.
Right.
Because love and sin don't work together. What's it say about love? What's it saying? It covers what?
A multitude.
Multitude of sin. And so as God's love encompassed me, sin just became weaker and weaker and weaker, and the seed of sin is dying. I'll say that with all confidence. I still have sin. But it's becoming less and less. And it's not because I'm anything good.
He's not all that in a bag.
There's none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus becoming Jesus in me and becoming the manifest, you know, son that I'm meant to be, sin dies. That's what Romans 6 says. Go back and read Romans 6. It says that when we were a slave to sin, we were bound to it. Mm-hmm. But when we died in Christ, and we did, we were buried with him in baptism. We were crucified with him on the cross, however you want to put it. And we were raised into newness of life. Sin loses its hold. Mm-hmm. So you guys are less sinners than you were yesterday. Why? Because you've had more of Jesus in you longer.
Yeah.
Who has something? Oh, Myla, come on up. We may not get through all this today, but that's okay.
Like Nancy said, the fruit of sin is the unbelief and the rejecting of the love that God has for us. Mm. The more you receive his love, the fruit of the Spirit occurs.
Come on.
And that sin, that stronghold, whether it be a physical sin or just a mindset, that sin is the manifestation of the stronghold in our mind, that we are not lovable or we are not worthy of the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's step one, receive his love.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, and if you think about it, when we're not trusting in Jesus, whether it be for our lives or whether it be for whatever, that's when we're closer to actually sinning, because now we're not keeping ourselves in Christ. We're not keeping our mind set on things above. You know, I think this is pretty clear that Jesus is more concerned about our relationship with him than our conduct. He's more concerned about how we view him in our lives than how we think he's viewing our behavior. Because our behavior is only fruit of this bad relationship. Which is awesome, because it means we can have a good relationship and sin doesn't have to be the enemy of our life anymore. Mm-hmm. It can just be something that is slowly but surely dying away. Mm-hmm. How many of you as Christians used to do things that you knew were sin and you just stopped doing them? You don't do them anymore. It's not because you said, well, I need to get this one out of my life and that one out. No, it dropped off because you became more like Jesus in your relationship with mm-hmm. him.
I was just going to say, I think, too, it really does depend on where you are in life as well. Because if you are in a body of believers that they believe, oh, you got to get rid of all that stuff before you really can come to Jesus, then it will be harder as a person on their own.
Well, they're putting a yoke on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That they should not
right.
have to bear.
Right.
When there's a freedom in the place that you're at, where God has placed you, when there's a freedom to receive that love and receive it prior to getting rid of all that stuff, not after, then it's much easier to let go. And again, it's what happens between Sundays. It's you said I sin, but it's not like, you know, it's not like you intend to sin. It's not like, okay, Monday through Saturday I can do all the boo-boos and then Sunday I can come to church and be a good boy.
That's not what
he's saying.
No.
What he's saying is his relationship with Jesus makes him want to please Jesus, not please the day of the week.
Well, and the relationship itself restrains sin. See, that's the thing.
Yes.
It's like the Holy Spirit has greater fuel to keep the enemy from even sending darts
STP
my way.
Submit
to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yeah.
The key is submitting to God.
Yeah. That's what I was telling Nani just now or earlier. I said, Holy Spirit's like STP in your tank. Makes it run smoother. It
is. It's true. What STP is.
STP is the old thing that you could add to your gas tank, and it would clean up the gas that was put in there and make it run smoother.
Clean the carburetor.
Clean the, some of you are
harder,
nodding like, you know what STP is? Sorry, Nani, I didn't even think you didn't even know what that was. Oh, well. Now it just makes it more clear for you, baby. But STP was put in your tank with your gas when you filled your car up to make the gas go longer, be smoother, not do the kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Holy Spirit is for us. Holy Spirit in us helps us be able to serve Jesus with a pure heart of love.
Good. Amen. How are we doing? 5 minutes. I don't think we can finish. We'll see.
So concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. So again, if I would have said, so how is the Holy Spirit going to tell them about righteousness? I would think that, you know, their righteousness is as filthy rags, you know, that that they're not living, you know, right with God. But again, it's because I go to the Father. Well, what does that mean? And I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying, because I go to the Father, that the Holy Spirit can now talk about righteousness? Well, because when Jesus goes to the Father and we see him no longer, what is that fulfilling? That is fulfilling the work of the cross. That is fulfilling the fulfillment of righteousness. Because the righteous one became unrighteousness for me. The righteous one became sin who knew no sin. And so what he fulfills in going back to the Father is that his righteousness is now available to me. So the Holy Spirit can let us know that we now need this righteousness that has been freely given. The Holy Spirit can let us know that, and like he did for me, compared my conduct with what Jesus' conduct was. Now, Jesus wasn't mentioned to me, but the Holy Spirit was already letting me know I wasn't measuring up.
Right.
I was not matching this righteousness. So let's look at another translation. About righteousness, that's uprightness of heart and right standing with God. Because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. Another translation says this, that righteousness comes from above where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. And then I like the ERV, which is the easy read version. I read that a lot because I need easy read stuff. He will show them how wrong they are about how to be right with God. The helper will do this because I am going to the Father. You will not see what? You're waving at me. You will not see me then. Amen. Do you have something, Jesse?
No.
Okay. Just waving, huh? Okay. Oh, now they're blaming each other. All right. No worries. So if we look here, it's about how, and if we go all the way back here to this, it's to bring to light the true character of a man and his conduct. So the Holy Spirit is bringing to light the true character of this unrighteous vessel. And that's what he did with me. Does anybody else relate? Did that what he do? Is that what he did with you? I mean, did he not show you your need for a savior?
Well, it's so good because so many people think that God's
just, oops.
A voice.
Can't hear.
I don't want to do this. Yes, come on. We need others to be able to hear your voice.
Okay. So the biggest misconception is that the Lord speaks to us in shame, but the only person who speaks to us in shame is the enemy. God brings the light of who we are and speaks to the gold that's within us and pulls us to greater heights. And that's what's so beautiful about this. So I'm feeling so, I don't know, good.
No, that's good. Yeah, well, and see, that's the thing. Jesus is going to, were we hooked?
Turn around.
Sorry.
Okay, got it.
Jesus is going to bring out, like he did with Peter. Peter, and I love going back to the scene. Peter is just now brought in this big haul of fish, and he realizes that this one who he's been around for a while is much more than what they thought. He wasn't just a teacher. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Depart from me, Lord.
I'm a sinner. I do not need to be in your company. And Jesus, yeah, dude, you're messed up, man. I mean, he doesn't do that. What does he say? Peter, from now on, you're going to be catching fish. He sees the Peter that was going to be standing up on the day of Pentecost. He didn't see that Peter was going to betray him three times. He saw the Peter who was going to be standing in Christ, in who he was meant to be. Mm-hmm. And he says, Peter, from now on, you're going to be catching fish. Mm-hmm. He didn't speak to the unrighteousness that Peter knew. Mm-hmm. He saw repentance in Peter. He now said, okay, Peter, come and be who you're meant to be.
Right.
And that's what he says to all of us. I believe God's more for us than he is against us. I mean, I'm just convinced of that. Now, does it mean that there's not going to be correction and challenging of our way of thinking? There's going to be all of that because he loves us and he is a father and he will correct us. He will chastise us if he has to. But he's doing it because he loves us and he sees the potential in us, not because he's mad at us and he wants us, you know, to line up, you know, straighten up, you know, I'm going to, you know, whatever you want to say, I'm going to kick your, you know, that's not what he's doing. He wants us to become everything that he sees in us, and he will remove every obstacle mm-hmm. if he has to. He will not let things remain in us because he loves us that much.
Well, and I really am sitting here and I'm hearing the Lord say, power is the world's word. Potential is God's.
Amen.
So if you have a question in your heart about, wait a second, does this make me more powerful or does this show more of my potential? I think that could be our mirror. That could be where we put it up against the other, because God pushes our potential because he knows what we're going to be. The world pushes power all the time. Oh, you'll be so powerful if, or oh, you'll be so powerful.
That's what he offered Jesus,
when.
Satan, right?
Exactly. So if your mirror is potential, good. If it's power, then you have to question whether or not that's coming from the Lord, because he never pushes for that. He
right.
never pushes for, oh, you'll get to go to this level and then you'll get to go
and
to this
level.
That's
one of the things that's hurt churches, because people were after power and not to become
hurt,
who they were in the potential of God.
That's what's hurt leadership in churches, yeah. because leadership has pushed that power. Leadership says, if you do this and you do this and you do this and this and this, you'll get to serve in the church and get to do this and get to do that. No, 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 no. That's not God's way at all. God is the one that is the lifter of the head. God's the one that makes our potential shine and be able to be. I really believe it's attracting people for us to allow God to let our potential shine. I believe that.
So, I think that's good. Yeah. I agree with that. First, right.
It's so good.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that it's praying, you know, Nancy just said, when we're, so that you don't have to come up, when we're praying for our government, even though we may not necessarily agree with them, we don't need to be concerned about those things when we're praying. We just need to be obedient and pray for them and that let God work out all the details.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm paraphrased, but was that close? Right.
I don't, he's not aware.
Yeah.
It's just, how do we become those lovers that are able to pray into the goals of people and pray into what we'd like to see versus what we're seeing?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and we are individuals that unfortunately have skewed perspectives. And the only way that our perspective will change is with a heart alignment and a mind yeah. alignment with God's.
Right.
And that only comes with time.
Right.
You can't force that on somebody. I mean, we've been talking about vulnerability. You talked about that a little bit, Tara, in the men's group over the past few weeks, and talking about what does that mean? And for men, vulnerability isn't always easy, you know, because, you know, we think of vulnerability as weakness. But When we're vulnerable and we let God examine us and check us out, you know, as Psalm 139 talks about, when he's able to inspect us with our permission. One thing Jesse said, well, it's not like God doesn't know us. He fully knows us. Well, at the beginning of 139, that's what the first five verses are about. He's saying, you see me when I rise, you know how I think, you know. But there's a difference when we say, okay, God, now you show me what you see about me. Amen. That's what you're saying. What do you see are my pitfalls? What do you see are my shortcomings? And, you know, that vulnerability is really necessary when you're viewing the world, when you're viewing political parties, when you're viewing, you know, people of different cultures and stuff. We need to say, is there things in my past? Is there things that have been spoken to me by others where I have prejudices or bigotry or any of that type of stuff? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we live in a day when, you know, equality or equity and stuff is being forced on us, where it's saying, okay, you know, you guys all have to be, you know, just equal. And the problem is that's not biblical, because we are all individuals created by God with unique talents and unique abilities, and we all have a place to be. And so just putting us all in a pigeonhole isn't good. But also, there's the dynamic that when we have this pushed on us, we can let dark things inside of us rise up even more. How many of you have been told, don't do that, and then, oh, I want to do that? You know, it's like, it's that nature that we have inside of us. And so we need to make sure that we're checking our hearts and checking our minds, especially in the days that we live in, and making sure that there's not attitudes that are coming out of us that are not aligned with God's. Yeah. Verse 11, and then hopefully we'll finish here. I mean, running a little late, sorry. Is everybody okay? Nobody's like jumping out of their seats. Okay. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Again, this is interesting, because it's not concerning judgment because at the end of the age, I'm just going to, you know, judge the living and the dead. No, he's pointing at the reason why this judgment is going to be dealt with. See, because Jesus was judged for all of our sins when he was on the cross. He took the place of God's judgment on all of us, on all of mankind, not just on those that have received him up to this point, on all of mankind, past, present, and future. That's what Jesus was. Every man when he was on the cross, and every woman. He was every single individual that ever lived. He didn't just became sin, he became all mankind and sin at the same time. That's why the weight that was on our Savior is hard to even comprehend. Because he didn't just have like this word sin marked on him. He had all of my sin that I would do throughout my life. He had all of Eric's sin. He had all of Zeke's sin. He had all of our sin, which is hard to understand. But one time I was praying, and the Lord showed me, because I got the revelation, I was crucified with Christ. And it was like a vision, and I looked out, and I saw through Jesus' eyes on the cross. I realized that he didn't just have my sin, he had me. That I was crucified with him. That somehow he was able to carry every single individual, past, present, and future, and hang them on the cross with him. So the sacrifice would be fully sufficient. Mm-hmm. He became sin who knew no sin. Then after that, he went back to the Father. And guess where the judgment went? The judgment went on the enemy. So all of that judgment that he carried then went on the enemy. That's why it says in, I think it's, is it Colossians? That he made a public spectacle triumphing over him in it, the cross. I think it's Colossians. It's one of them. Where he made Satan even a public spectacle through being judged. A lot of people, you know, give Satan a lot of power. Well, the only power that he has is the power that we allow him to have. See, he has no more power over us anymore. Colossians 2:15? Okay. Did I quote it right? Hang on just a second.
And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the
And having disarmed principalities and powers, or powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over in the cross. And so when he went to the cross and then resurrected and went to the Father, the judgment was passed on the ruler of this world. He says he was already judged, but we know that that finished work is when that judgment was received by him. So he's already judged. Okay. So the only power the enemy or his cohorts have over us is the power we allow him to have. And what does that mean? Well, that means either we succumb to fear, and we succumb to our circumstances, and we say, oh my gosh, you know, the devil's attacking me, or whatever it is, and not submit to God. Submitting to God means like, Lord, whatever's happening to me, I give it to you. I know that your very best is at heart for me. And then resist the lies of the enemy, just like you did in the hospital, right? When the enemy was telling you those things, you said, nope, I don't receive that. You were crying out to God. That's what you were doing.
Exactly.
Oh, God, it wasn't like, you know, some eloquent prayer, but you knew how to connect. Oh, God, and then you told the enemy, get away from me. I don't want it. Because my man is loved by my Father more than I love him.
Yeah.
And that's what you came to.
That's what
that understanding. So about judgment, because the ruler, the evil genius, prince of the world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. So when he comes and lies to you, say, you know what? You're judged. You've already been condemned. You've been sentenced. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to my Father.
Yes.
I'm going to listen to what my Father tells me. And I'm not going to let the circumstances communicate how God thinks about me. I'm going to let the way that he's communicated on the cross what he thinks about me. And that communication says I'm dearly loved. And that he'll never stop loving me. And he'll never leave me alone. He'll never forsake me. He's always with me. He lives inside of me. Those are the kind of things that we have to have in our heart when you go through 11 days in the hospital. And then you never feel like you're alone the whole time.
Yeah.
You never feel like you've been abandoned.
Right.
I'm telling you, I lived it. I felt his peace all the time. And I wasn't praying for his peace. It just abided in me. Yeah. This is real. This works.
Yeah.
When we truly let him love us, he'll take care of us, even when we're going through hell.
Yeah.
Amen. Have faith. Amen. That's right, brother. That's what you said last week, right? Don't fear. Have faith.
Right.
He just gets it cut and dry simple. Two more verses and we're done here. The judgment... judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So keep in mind, that's past tense. He's been judged. And this is Jesus telling his disciples then. So I don't know when he was judged. He may have been judged when Jesus stepped on the earth. I mean, it's Jesus trying to say it's a done deal even then to his disciples. And judgment, the Passion Translation, because the ruler of this dark world has already received his sentence.
Now the question...
How does the Holy Spirit
work
then?
Are we living as if he's already received that judgment, or are we living like he still has the power to do something more? He doesn't have any more power. Exactly. So the acronym, is it an acronym when it's the fear is fake evidence appearing real?
Right. Acronym.
Are you letting that evidence be real, or are you saying no? Because the evidence before me was he was dying.
Yeah.
There was no blood pressure. He was not in this body, and the evidence was appearing as if it was real. But I had to say, oh God, you love him more than I do. What do you want to do? You need to do something here. And he did. He came back. Blood pressure came up. Pulse was there. And he said 3 hours later, okay, I'm back. That's what he said. That's the evidence. That's the truth, is Jesus was there the whole time. And I didn't have to question, where are you? And only in me was I able to say, thank you, God, because you were there the whole time. And he's with you the whole time. You don't need any more of Jesus than you already got. You just don't.
That's true. I've heard that before.
Yeah, several times.
So what does all this mean? This means that the Holy Spirit is so powerful that he can teach you everything you need to know about Jesus. You don't need me to come to your house and do a Bible study with you every day and teach you, because the Holy Spirit is fully adequate to teach you everything that you need to know to grow up into Christ. Now, do you get to come and we get to share on Sunday? Yes. And do you get to be part of that by adding your faith here? Yes. But I'm telling you that if Pastor Gay and I was here, and if all the pastors were somehow removed from the earth, all the teachers were removed from the earth, Holy Spirit will teach you. Because he's the one who's allowing us to teach you right now anyway. Mm-hmm. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we're communicating right now.
The Holy Spirit is the one who convicted us to come to church today and say, listen to my teaching, Jesus. Like, Jesus is the one that's telling us to come. He's the one that's telling us to open our Bibles.
Yeah.
Amen. That's absolutely true. The Holy Spirit is the one that's in the world telling people that they need Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what Holy Spirit's doing, that they need to believe in Jesus. I remember when I know we're going a little long, but when I was talking to Amy and I was just letting her know how much God loved her and that she was a saint, and I just felt the compassion of God. And she started saying, like, oh, you don't know me. I mean, all of a sudden, well, it's because the Holy Spirit was now working in her. All I was telling her that she was loved. I felt the love of God coming through her. She started saying, oh, I'm not, and like, that's God working on her.
Yeah.
And that's how easy it is to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times we need to let people know, yes, Jesus went to the cross for you. He took your sin upon the cross. But there's also times that all we need to do is love people and let them know that we're concerned about their well-being. And God can do the rest.
One more testimony. Just one more. So this week, was it Thursday we went on our date?
I think Thursday we went on a date.
We normally do one weekly date. We go to lunch or go to coffee or something. And we have not done this since before we got COVID in November. We got COVID. We started through recovery, then the holidays. Then he got sick and went to the hospital. So we've not been on a date since prior to November. And getting COVID. So we went on our date. And all we did was go to Red Robin and get a hamburger. A lettuce wrap. We were good kids. So we're sitting there. And there's this sweet little waitress that's serving us. And she's just everything. Johnny on the spot. Refilling drinks. Asking if we want more fries. You know, is there anything else I can get you? You know, helping us with the bill because it didn't come out right. And all of these things. Just there. She's just Johnny on the spot.
Sweetheart.
Lovely lady. And so we've already paid the bill. We're getting ready to go. And I called her over and she's like, yes, what can I do for you? You know, like she's only been there 10 times before. And she's probably thinking, not again, you know. And I said to her, is what I said, I want to say to you how much we appreciate your precious service to us today. This is our first date in over 3 months. We normally go every week and we come here quite often, but we haven't been able to because we've been sick and he's been in the hospital. And because Jesus spared him, we get to come back today. And your service to us was so precious. And I just want to say thank you. And may the Lord bless you for serving us like you did. And she's like, oh my goodness, that's the nicest thing anybody said to me in a really long time. And he says, I don't even remember what you said. You said something to her. And she's like, oh, my mom's been saying that to me. Do you remember what you said to her?
Oh, I probably told her just how much God loves her or something like that. Yeah, probably something simple.
Yeah. And she goes, my mom has been telling me.
Oh, no. She started talking about how these times are really, really scary and being alive and everything. And I said, honey, just grab hold of God because he's got this. You know, that's what my mom keeps saying. That's what she said, you know.
That's what she said. And then he said, just hold on to Jesus. He's not telling her to go to church. He's not telling her to get into a Bible study. He's not telling her, you need to change your ways. No. He says, just grab hold of Jesus and let him love you. And you love him, and it's all gonna turn out okay. And she's like, oh my goodness, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for saying that. Like, there's opportunities every day, you guys. Every day. He gives you an opportunity. And it doesn't need to be a 5-point sermon. It doesn't need to be, well, if you give your heart to Jesus and you say the sinner's prayer and you come to church on Sunday and you get baptized and you this and you that. It doesn't have to be that. The sinner on the cross next to Jesus said, Lord, when you go to heaven, just remember me. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have to say the sinner's prayer. Jesus just said, today you're going to be with me. You guys, today you're going to be with Jesus. I'm not saying you're going to heaven, because Jesus is heaven on earth in you, in you, in you, in you. He's heaven on earth in you.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, that's...
He's good.
Yeah, he is good. Does anyone want to close in prayer?
I can close in prayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say one thing really?
Yeah, sure.
The definition of... what was the word?
Yeah, convict.
Convict.
I'm getting
so,
there. Hang on.
The Lord just put this on my heart like a couple months ago, and I raise kids for a living, so I'm always teaching and guiding, and you know, and the most effective way to get a little one to listen to you is to first get down and say, you are such a good boy, you're such a good girl, and right now you just made such a bad choice, but you know what, you're a really good boy, and I see how good you are. And I love you so much. And I want you to make good choices, because I know that you can make good choices and you have good choices in your heart. And that's
where were you when
Jesus,
I was growing up, man?
But that's what Jesus says to us. He says, you're a good boy and a good girl because I paid the price for your sin.
Yeah, that's good.
And you're good and I love you and I want you. So make good choices, because I've given you everything you need to make those choices.
Amen.
Live like me here on this earth, you know. That just, that, he put that on my heart and it was like, yes, it's the true character. Our true character is that we're covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's our true character.
That's right, Myla. That's good.
Pray, Myla.
Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for these brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for working in this place, for working and talking to each one of us in voices that we can hear and voices that we can receive and understand.
Yes.
Thank you for being so personal. Thank you for knowing us. El Roy, you are the God who sees. You saw us when we were born, and you see us now in every choice that we've made and every mindset we've taken on, Lord, and you're bigger than all of them.
Yeah.
And Lord God, I just pray that you remove anything, Lord, that we've added or the world has added. And I pray that you just add our minds in alignment toward you, Jesus.
Yes.
I pray that anything that's keeping us from seeing you clearly, Lord, I just pray that you clean our eyes, you clean our hearts, you clean our minds, you clean our characters, so that we're less of us and more of you.
Mm-hmm.
That when we walk into places, Lord, people see you, Jesus, and they see your grace and your love on our hearts and in our words, Lord. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be who you've called us to be, which is only righteous by your sacrifice. So thank you, Jesus, for that sacrifice. And I just pray a blessing over every single person here and every person listening online. Yes. In Jesus' name, go in peace and go and walk and be his voice and his hands and his feet. Yes. And allow the Holy Spirit to take you and lead you wherever he wants you to go.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Myla. Well, praise the Lord. Everyone have a great day. Those of you who are going to watch the Super Bowl, enjoy it.
Who's calling Gene?
Who's?
Michael.
Oh, that's the Brents.